Welcome to the Dennis Jernigan Podcast. The purpose of this podcast is to help you find healing for your wounds, hope in your despair, find intimacy in your loneliness, and find refuge in the storms from the storms of life. Basically, to help you find a deeper walk with Jesus. If there's one thing I know after having lived 59 years now, which I can't believe I'm even saying, God wastes nothing. He does not waste my sorrows. He does not waste my wounds. He does not even waste my failures. Hi, I'm your host, Dennis Jernigan, and today I'd like to talk with you about, me. Because of my music, people have a certain level of understanding of who and whose I am. But when I listen to the stories of others, I want to know some of what you might consider the more trivial parts of their lives. It just makes me feel like I've been welcomed into their world on a more personal and intimate level. So I figured maybe you'd like that as well. So today's podcast is to let you in on some of the more trivial aspects of my life. The way we're going to do this is simple. I've compiled a list of some of the questions I get asked more often than others, and some have been posed by even my own children, and I reserve the right to not answer those if I choose. So there. That being said, let's just dive right in. First question, what is the favorite song I've ever received? Well, that's hard to narrow down because I have some personal favorites. One that comes to mind is When the Night is Falling, just because that revolutionized my way of thinking when I realized God surrounds me with songs of deliverance. That's Psalm 32:7. He is our hiding place, and he will surround us with songs of deliverance. And then Zephaniah 3:17 says that he's in your midst a victorious warrior, and he rejoices over you with singing. Another favorite is called This Is My Destiny, just because it's my proclamation of who my Father, who my God says I am. I replace the old stinking thinking with the truth of who God says I am. So that song is very vital and important to my life. I sing it to this day. Another one that I just love to sing over people is called Passionate Obsession. It's just how passionate God's love is towards us. And when I sing it, I try to sing it with as much passion as I can, but I absolutely come nowhere near God's passion or level of love for me. But I try. So I love that song for that reason, and I love to watch people's response to it. Another favorite is If I Could Just Sit With You a While. In fact, every time I go somewhere and do a ministry time during the sound check, I always sing that song just to settle my own thoughts, just to center myself around Jesus Christ, to focus on him. So that's probably the top, I guess that's the top four. And of course, You're My All in All, still one of my most favorite songs. It's one of those now that even though I received it in 1989, can you believe that? It's been that long. It's just one of those songs that I can't go anywhere without people getting upset if I don't sing it. So that's my top five, I guess you'd say. Next question. What are your hobbies? Well, I have several, but I love to fish. I grew up fishing. I mean, some of my earliest memories involve fishing for crawdads and then fishing for fish. And one time I even hooked my brother Paul. I mean, I cast and the hook caught him in his lip. Well, actually his jaw. And I remember my dad taking the pliers and cutting off the barbed end of the hook and pulling it out through the other side of my brother's mouth. And I don't know. I just love that story just because it's kind of funny now. It wasn't funny at the time, but it's funny now. So if my brother's listening to this, sorry, Paul. Love you. I taught my own children to fish, and now I have the privilege of teaching my grandchildren, which I absolutely love to do. Okay. Now, this next question involves some of the writing that I've done. I love to write fantasy novels. I've written three called The Chronicles of Bryn. Now I'm writing a new series called The Bairns of Bryn, which The Bairns of Bryn is mainly for my grandchildren because they're the heroes in each story. So the question that's been posed is, what is the Forest of Bryn? Well, Bryn is a place here on my property. It's a very real place on my farm. And through the years, I've carved over 2 miles of trails through this dense forest and underbrush. Each trail is being named for one of my grandchildren. And I am in the process, as I'm able to save enough money to, every time I get enough money, I buy a new sign, an actual street sign with my grandchildren's names on certain trails. So In that forest, it's Christmas all year round because we have a cedar tree there. And when we first moved here, my twin sons, Ace and Ezra, were just 5 years old, and we decorated that little tree in the campground area of the forest. And now my grandchildren, it's just awesome. They're learning their way around the forest now, and I'd love to just go out there and trail. I can't even keep up with them now, but I was just able recently to purchase 2 stone lions. They're not any big deal. They're just concrete. And I placed them in the opening of the forest, and right there is the street sign for my grandson, Cullen. It's called Cullen's Lane. Then you go around the corner, there's going to be a stop sign. Beneath the stop sign, it's going to say, stop here, lay down your logic, put on your imagination, and proceed. Because I want my grandchildren to grow up with a sense of purpose and destiny and identity, and a sense that life is an adventure to be lived and enjoyed. So there, that's the Forest of Bryn. Another question I get asked a lot is, how long have you been married? Well, Melinda and I have been married 34 years now. We have 9 children, 2 daughters-in-law, 4 sons-in-law, and 10 grandchildren so far. So there's that. Love my family. You'll notice a lot of these questions revolve around my family. This is from one of my kids. What are your favorite movies? Well, some of my favorite movies are Slumdog Millionaire. I just love the story of redemption in that movie that's portrayed. I see God all over that film. The Greatest Showman is a more recent one that I just absolutely love. I've even listened to the soundtrack about 10 times now. I just love that film. Another one is one you've probably never heard of. It's called Moonrise Kingdom, just because it's quirky, and that's how I tend to think. I love stories that throw me curveballs and make me have to think. So I love Moonrise Kingdom. Another one that's just really ministered to me personally is a little film called Secondhand Lion. It's about a boy coming into manhood and how these 2 old men help him get there. Another one's similar sort of story. It's about a boy who doesn't really know who he is, but it's called Son of Rambo. It's another quirky little film, but I absolutely love it. And then I go into the sci-fi side of things with Star Wars. I love Rogue One. And I even love the film that got pretty much panned. It's called John Carter. I love that story. It's just incredible, I think. I love stories where good triumphs over evil, even if the hero dies. I just love that. I'm pretty careful about what I allow into my mind, so I don't enjoy gory movies, and I don't enjoy horror movies at all, because what I put in my mind is what I tend to get out, and I want to put in good things. So there. If it's going to make me laugh and it's not body humor, I will watch it. If it's an adventure film, I will generally love that. I just like good triumphing over evil. I just love that. Another question I get, because people know I love basketball. So do you still play basketball? Well, I had to stop playing after I had my left knee replaced. It's been several years now. And I'm afraid my right knee is going out, but I'm going to hold off surgery as long as I can, if ever. Real interesting fact is that in 2005, I was invited to come to the NCAA Final Four and minister to the basketball coaches. And that was a highlight of my life in a lot of ways, because I love basketball. I was given 2 tickets and lodging and paid basically to come and minister to these basketball coaches. So I took my son, Judah Paul, and we watched North Carolina win the national championship that year. We got to meet Chris Paul and Andrew Bogut, who was player of the year that year, sang at the Naismith Awards, and right on the front row was Coach K and J.J. Redick. They were right there in front of me, which was so surreal to me. I remember singing the song I Salute You, because it was right in the midst of the Iraq War. During that same episode, or 2005, I got to meet Coach Bill Self. He coaches the basketball team at the University of Kansas, the Jayhawks, and I love to watch him. I love to watch his teams play, even though I'm an Oklahoma Sooner fan, just because I live in Oklahoma, but I love Bill Self, and I love the way he coaches. And anyway, we have sort of a connection, because his mom and my mom grew up being best of friends, and they still keep up with each other to this day. And I asked him if his mom had ever told him the story of my mom getting his mom in trouble. And so he said, no, but I want to know about this. Well, when my mom was in high school, her dad was pastor of the First Baptist Church where they went to church. And Elvis Presley was going to be on Ed Sullivan's show for the first time that Sunday evening. And my mom and Coach Self's mom and my mom's sister and another girl had to sing in the choir, so they knew they were going to miss Elvis on TV. So my mom devised this plan that after choir got through singing, they always allowed them to be dismissed, and they walked out and sat down in the congregation. Well, my mom said, hey, girls, let's just walk on past the congregation and right out the back door and across the street to the parsonage. No one will ever miss us. So that was their plan, and it worked perfectly until the service. During the service, my grandfather was one of those preachers who, if your child was acting up during the service, he would call you down. So Sister Hicks, her daughter, who is a friend of mine now, believe it or not, she was talking, and my granddad called her down. He asked her to be quiet. And after the service, her mom, Sister Hicks, Laura Hicks, came up to my granddad and said, before you sweep off your own doorstep, you better sweep off before you sweep off my doorstep, you better sweep off your own. Meaning, he said, what does that mean? She said, well, before you call down one of my children, you better check on your own, because where were your daughters during the service? Just so happened church got out early that night, and my granddad marched across the street to the parsonage just as Elvis Presley was introduced and turned off the TV set. So my mom and her plans tended to work out like Lucille Ball and her plans with Ethel. So Bill Self did not know that story, but I got to tell him, and that was a pretty funny moment. So anyway, he thought the story was great. Another question, do I have siblings? Yes, I'm the oldest of four boys, and I'm by far the better looking, even though I'm not as tall as the other boys. And, well, I have one brother that's about my height. But I am definitely the better looking one, but I'm the oldest of four boys. Another question, do you still snow ski? I love snow skiing, but I gave that up after knee replacement, and I took up scuba diving after a trip to Hawaii. Melinda and I have never taken a real extravagant trip at all, except one time. We got to take a week and go to Maui and spend a week there with a couple of friends. And I remember going to Molokini and snorkeling, and that was an incredible moment. And just looking down below, about 50 feet below me, these scuba guys were pointing to things, and I couldn't even see what they're pointing at, but they were obviously awesome. So I came back home, and it was May, and I went to Lake Ten Killer here in northeastern Oklahoma, and the water temperature was 38 degrees, and I got certified to scuba dive. So I haven't dived in, oh my goodness, about 8 years now, I guess. But anyway, another question, have I ever been on a cruise? Do you like cruises? Melinda and I have taken four cruises on which we ministered. One was with Dr. Dobson, two have been with Family Life Ministries, another one was with Dr. D. James Kennedy. And we did not enjoy the cruise for cruising's sake whatsoever, because think about it this way. We're isolated on a boat where hundreds of people who want to get to know us. Basically, everywhere we went, we had no alone time, so we felt no privacy, so we did not enjoy the cruise in that respect whatsoever. That's another reason I took up scuba diving, because we'd go into port, and rather than be bombarded with people, I would get off and just go take a dive. And it sounds terrible when I say it out loud, but that's just the truth. I needed some me time, I guess you'd say. And like I said, it's been about 8 years since my last dive because, a lot of reasons. I've dived in the Caribbean. I had the opportunity to go back to Hawaii on one of those cruises I talked about, and I got to dive one time there. And then I got to take my daughter Annie with me, and we scuba dived in the Red Sea and Eilat, Israel. It was just an amazing moment. I've done a solo dive. I've done several night dives. I've dived with reef sharks circling around me for about 40 minutes, and Anyway, love the dive, love the adventure, sense of things. I love that. Let's move along here. What were some of your high school accomplishments or memories? Well, of course, I was valedictorian of my senior class in high school. That's a big deal, right? Until you realize there were only 12 of us, but hey, valedictorian's valedictorian, right? I was also conference all-star my sophomore, junior, and senior years for our basketball conference. That was pretty fun. Where do you attend church? Well, Melinda and I pastor a small church that meets in our home on Wednesday evenings. We meet for worship and ministry most Wednesday evenings. The church is called All in All Church for obvious reasons, but the reason we even created the church, we've been ministering out of our living room, honestly, since the late 80s. We just didn't realize we were having church. We were just inviting people into our home because they would tend to get honest in our home and we could spend more in-depth time with them ministering to their needs. Excuse me, that's how we taught our children to minister. That's the truth. And honestly, we're gone a lot of Sundays, so the Wednesday night was an obvious choice for us to host our meetings. So if you're ever in Muskogee on a Wednesday evening, just call and check, make sure we're having a meeting that night, because sometimes we are gone on Wednesdays, but we try to announce those. Let's move along here. How many songs have you written? I have no idea. I stopped counting a long time ago. But by this time, it's into the thousands, because my belief is that God will give me a song a day if I will just listen. And that's the truth. I really do believe that. Psalm 45:1 is my go-to verse in that respect. It says, "My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. My heart overflows with a good theme, and I address my verses to my king." In other words, I'm ready to listen and write down whatever God speaks to me at a moment's notice, and that's the truth. Here's some from my kids, basically. What is your favorite food? Well, they knew my answer to this one before they even asked the question. I love popcorn. I mean, I absolutely, I'll eat it any day, any night, any time. Even when I was a boy, I was the chief popper in our family, and I've taught my own children the finer arts of popcorn poppery. It involves coconut oil and one pat of real butter. That's all I need to say about that. I love popcorn. What's your favorite ice cream? My favorite ice cream flavor is called Dulce La Leche. It's from an Oklahoma ice cream company here called Brahms. Do I collect anything? Yes, I collect hymnals. The oldest is an 1851 pocket hymnal once carried by a Methodist circuit riding preacher. Someone heard that I collected them, gave that to me. It's in a display case here in my studio. I also collect musical instruments, and I have one story I'd like to tell you about that, because musicians have a lot of jokes that they like to tell, and I was ministering in, oh my goodness, Gallaudet University. We were having a conference there, and during lunch, the musicians, and there were several other bands there, and we were talking around a table, other musicians, and I told a joke, how do you tell if the stage is level? Well, drool comes out of both sides of the drummer's mouth. And another one, what does the professional drummer say when he comes to your door? Pizza. And then my favorite, which was not my favorite in that moment after you understand the story, I said, what do you call 4,000 accordions at the bottom of the sea? And I said, that's a good start. And one of the persons next to me said, well, I play the accordion. I said, oh, man, I'm just joking. I love accordions. That's one of the few instruments I want to collect that I do not have in my collection. Did you know a week later I get an accordion in the mail from this gentleman? It was just one of those most humbling things I've ever experienced. But it's true. I now have actually an accordion and a squeeze box. So anyway, let's move along here. Do you still play with your band? No, I've not played with a live band regularly since 2003. It's sad but true, but our kids all began to get older, and we decided our main focus of ministry should be on our marriages and our families, and so there's that. What's the craziest thing that you've ever done? Oh my goodness, where do I start? Well, I once jumped out of a perfectly good airplane on purpose. I went skydiving, didn't tell my parents, just did it, and then told them after the fact. Then when I was, that was between my junior and senior years in college. And during, between my freshman and sophomore year in college, a buddy invited me to go mountain climbing with him. So we went to the Sangre de Cristos and the Colorado Rockies. And he said, hey, there's this cave system up above the 10,000 foot level that the Spaniards discovered. So we went there and it was this little hole in the side of the mountain. And my goodness, there was a string and we followed this string several hundred feet back through these very small places that I would never fit through today. Let's just put it at that. So I was a skinny dude then. I'm not skinny anymore. Moving along, what did you want to be when you were a kid? Well, I wanted to play in the NBA, duh. And then I wanted to live on the USS Enterprise. How much greater can that be? Can there be anything greater than that? I don't think so. Do you like your name? Why or why not? This is from one of my kids. Well, for the longest time, I did not like my name. When I asked my mom why they named me Dennis Leon, my name's Dennis Leon Jernigan. They said, well, your dad and I couldn't decide. We wanted one of us wanted to call you Robert, one of us wanted to call you Dwayne. So we decided on Dennis Leon, which nobody in our family had ever received those names. But now I love them because the name Dennis means worshiper of the true God. And that's my personal name. And then Leon means lion or lion-hearted. So I love my name. Again, this is from my kids. Are you a messy or a clean person? Well, depending on who you ask, I'm the messiest person just because I'm one of those creative types that I have my piles of things and you don't throw away something until you ask me. But Melinda is very good at just throwing things away without me knowing and me never missing them at all. So I probably would be a hoarder if Melinda were not there. That's a joke, but you know what I mean. How tall are you? Well, I always wanted to be 6'5", but I'm actually 5'11". What is your guilty pleasure? Being alone with my wife a lot, and I'll leave it at that. What are you saving money for right now? Well, honestly, just trying to save up for the next statue of a creature that I want to put in the Forest of Bryn for my grandchildren. Do you prefer tea or coffee? The answer is neither. I don't really prefer either. I'll drink coffee just to be sociable. And I live in the South, so I drink tea when it's offered to me. Am I an extrovert or an introvert? Well, let's put it this way. If I go to a party, I look for the first corner where I could go and stand where nobody will notice me. And that's the truth. I'm an absolute introvert. Sweet or salty? These are from my kids, you can tell. I prefer them together, actually. I like sweet and salty. Caramel and sea salt, that kind of stuff. I love it. Favorite social media? Well, the one I use probably the most is Facebook. Not that I have a favorite one. I try to avoid it at all costs if I can. I use it for a personal ministry. Who's the last person you kissed? This is from my kids. Well, it was my wife this morning, then my grandkids yesterday. What's my favorite breakfast? Going back to that ice cream store I told you about called Brahms. It's a sausage egg biscuit with no cheese. I just love their biscuits. When is your birthday? February 9th, 1959. When did you start your public ministry? Oh my goodness. It was during the late 80s, actually mid 80s to late 80s. I was done with ministry. I was done with performance. And my goodness, by that time, James Robison was using my music at his Bible conferences. And in 1988, I decided I needed to tell my story publicly and that I probably should let James Robison know so he could stop using my music because I didn't want to bring any damage or harm to his ministry. So I wrote him this letter detailing what God had done in my life, how I'd been delivered from same-sex attraction, and so on and so forth, so it will not offend me if he needs to stop using my music for that reason. That's the true story. And the next thing I know, he's reading the letter on national television, so I have public ministry, whether I wanted one or not. So 1988 was the official what people know as my public ministry. It began that year. Let's see. My daughter Annie asked me to share about my favorite soundtracks from movies. I love Braveheart because I love the work of James Horner, who just passed away a couple of years ago. I love Hans Zimmer, who did Gladiator. I love, I've already mentioned, the soundtrack of The Greatest Showman. Let's see, my kids have some others here. Why did you never tour as most artists do? Well, simple. My first responsibility was to be husband and father, and so I didn't need to be on a tour bus half the year. So record labels didn't like that at all, but God got my music around the world anyway, so there you have it. Who are my favorite authors? I love C.S. Lewis. I love Hannah Hernard just because of her first two books are just incredible. God used them in my life mightily. I love Laura Ingalls Wilder because I used to read those along with Chronicles of Narnia. I read the Little House on the Prairie series to my kids, so I just developed a love for their writing. It's simplistic in a lot of ways, but just great storytelling, and I love that. What are my favorite podcasts? I love NPR's How I Built This. I love the Ransomed Heart podcast with John Eldridge, and I love another podcast called Startup Camp with Dale Partridge. Who are my favorite Christian musicians? Keith Green, still. Annie Herring, still. And whatever my kids happen to be listening to that they tell me I need to listen to. So there you have it. Wrapping things up here, what projects are you working on right now? I'm working on book two of the Barons of Bryn books I told you about. And that book is going to be called The Light Eater. The first book is available right now, and it's called Hide and Seek. And it's the story of my grandkids playing hide and seek and how they fall into an adventure. It's a really cool story, so I encourage you to get that for your 8 years old and up readers or grandparents. Read them to your grandkids. Parents, read them to your kids. That's just a great way to bond with your family. Let's see what else here. I'm working on planning a new recording. I haven't decided yet, but I'm probably going to call it The Middle of Nowhere because that's how I feel some days because of the nature of my ministry. I feel like I'm in the middle of nowhere. I don't mean that in a bad way at all because God meets me smack dab in the middle of nowhere. Okay, I think I've bored you quite enough and focused on myself quite enough for one day. If you think of other questions that you'd like me to answer, just send them to mail@dennisjernigan.com. mail@dennisjernigan.com, and we'll do this again sometime. Now, I'd like to close today's podcast with a song that means a lot to me and relates to so much of what I shared today. As you can tell, I hope you can tell, family is of extreme importance to me. Though I may not be a rich man at all in financial terms, I am very wealthy beyond measure as far as my family goes. Here's the story behind a song called This Day I'd like to share with you now, and I'm just going to read to you what I wrote about this song. I write the history of every song that God gives me. This came May 30th in 2004. As Melinda and I and some of the children took a trip to meet Melinda's brother halfway between our home in Muskogee and Dallas to pick up Melinda's mom, we listened to my favorite storyteller, a lady named Malia Brock. We listened to her stories all the way down to pick up my kid's grandmother, Sheila. I love to listen to stories because I can make up the pictures in my mind, and they're always much better than any movie could ever depict. As part of one particular story, a children's song was sung which simply stated that I have a life and food and a home and a family, so I have everything I need, pretty much, just everything I need for today. While that's not an exact quote from her story, it gives you the idea. I began to meditate on the truth of that simple statement and realized how blessed I am and how much God loves me and that I have everything I need to get through this day. I got home that very night and the Lord gave me this song and I taught it the very next day in our church worship service. Everyone seemed really moved by the sentiments of the song and it's now become one of my favorite worship choruses. I'm a rich man according to God's economy. So as you listen, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to show you just how blessed you are. Look at what he's given you. Even if you're going through a hard time, allow the Holy Spirit to show you his point of view. And let's just take back stolen ground from our own past that may seem trivial to you on some levels, but God is in even the most trivial things of our lives. And so do you have everything you need for this day? Well, do you know Jesus? That's enough.
Some men gave chasing life, never knowing the greatest treasure is right before their eyes. And if all my possessions were gone by end of day, with absolutely nothing left, this is what I'd say. My memories. I have home and family. I have joy and I have peace. I have everything I need for this day. I have been blessed and I will thank the Lord this day. Treasures come in many different shapes and styles. Blessing one less fortunate pays dividends and smiles. Laying down my life may seem foolishness to some, but life is not worth living if living is never done.
Father, I thank you that this day we do have everything we need because we have you, and you are truly our all in all. So thank you, thank you, thank you for just being with us on this journey, this adventure we call life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, today's episode is brought to you by mpdesignsjewelry.com. At mpdesignsjewelry.com, you'll find beautifully crafted, one-of-a-kind jewelry by the artisan who is my wife, named Melinda Jernigan. She can create a special piece for that someone special in your life today. So go to mpdesignsjewelry.com and check it out. Thank you for joining me here on the Dennis Jernigan Podcast. If you'd like more information on me or my story or my music, all you have to do is go to DennisJernigan.com and you'll find a lot of good stuff there. Now you can follow me on Facebook, you can follow me on Instagram, you can find me on iTunes. And if you'd like an MP3 of the song This Day, just go to the store at DennisJernigan.com. If you'd like a copy of one of my books, especially my new book, Renewing Your Mind, Identity and the Matter of Choice, just go to Amazon.com and you'll find it along with many other books I've written. Once you've read the book, if you don't mind, go back to Amazon and leave a review, would you? Do that for me. And while you're at it, please consider leaving a review for this podcast on iTunes. Your reviews help get the attention of others who might be ministered to, which leads me to ask you to share this podcast with others you think might benefit from it. Encourage them to become subscribers to the Dennis Jernigan Podcast. That would mean such a great deal to me. This is just a simple way of helping me minister to the needs of others. Our time's up, so thank you again for joining me for today's podcast. And remember, God loves you, and so do I. Now go and be who Father says you are.